Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling World 247. Yes, we have another episode. We have clear audio. We're good to go again. It's just like the good old days here on Wrestling World 247. I remember in 2008 when I was a little kid, and I always wanted to check out the local Steel Town Pro Wrestling show. From there on, I decided I'd create something called Wrestling 247, and this was at a very young, ripe age of 14. So to get things going again is definitely great. You know, I love professional wrestling. You all know that I love this business. And those last two shows don't really go in the book big for Wrestling World 247, but I definitely know that the future shows are. We have the real mother trucker, Dewey Murray, calling in anytime now. It should be great. He's going to be talking about his time in NWA Upstate, lasting from 2004 to now. Chaotic Wrestling, as well as time in Empire State Wrestling. Veterans learning about the business. Veterans teaching youngsters about the business, I should say. So it should be great. We got a message from the live stream from Coz Q from Twitter. I'm doing great. You know, thanks for tuning in. Anybody that's tuning into the exclusive feed, watching me look like an idiot, or tuning into this live podcast on blogtalkradio.com/Jordan Garber, it's definitely a great thing. Gerard, what do you have planned? What's been new with you lately? What do you kind of want to talk about today in the world of professional wrestling?
Anything and everything. You know me. Whatever you want to talk about, I talk about it.
Well, we're currently, actually, this is Dewey Murray, so I guess we're going to have to hold that thought and talk about all of those later, because on the program we have none other than Dewey Murray. We were supposed to have Chris Michaels on, but this is the equipment. Welcome to Wrestling World 247. Am I speaking with Dewey Murray?
Yes, sir, you are.
Hello, Mr. Murray. Thank you very much for coming on Wrestling World 247 Live on such short notice. There is a personal situation going on with Chris Michaels. We wish him all the best, some personal stuff going on, so hopefully that does settle. So we settled in for
replacement. Are we talking about Chris Michaels, as the Tennessee legend Chris Michaels?
We are talking about the Chris Michaels, indeed, yes, the guy who had the few matches in WCW, the Smoky Mountain Wrestling stint in 95, the Chris Michaels that started out in the USWA as well as a part of the original TNA. So he's going to be on the program in a future episode, but yes, indeed, that was the Chris Michaels we were supposed to have on, a great legend, and it's great always hearing insight from veterans in the business, and it's great to have Dewey on to share those perspectives as well. And let's get to the interview. You have a lot of history with a promotion called NWA Upstate. You got your start there. You're
NWA New
now.
York, or
it's
whatever they're called now, but they are Upstate Pro.
Upstate Pro, I should say. They're back, from what I saw, according to my database, it was back in the day, it was classified under NWA Upstate. And now, I do apologize. I was looking at the cage match records, but you were there for a long time. Tell us about your whole experience there and all the memories that were created during that time frame.
Wow. Let's see. I've been with the company since the start. Really funny is I'm actually the only original left besides the original owner from almost 15 years ago. I graduated out of the same class as former ECW WWE superstar Colin Delaney. Also, I tagged with for a few shows and got to travel a lot with out of one of the very famous guys that come out of the company and or school is Luke Harper.
Excellent.
Back in the company's heyday, you had Cheech Cloudy from Ring of Honor, which was up in smoke. You had Dunn and Marcos, also from Ring Crew Express, Ring of Honor. You had a lot of young and up-and-comer guys. One of our former champions was Corey Graves. One of our longest reigning champions was, I believe, Danny Doring.
So you look at this company and look at the history. Getting into that, you bring up all those guys. You bring up Corey Graves. You bring up Colin Laney. And being there since the beginning and watching the company grow, what kind of like working with some of these veterans, giving you two cents on the business and just kind of learning all these things from all these veterans coming to NWA update along the way? What was kind of some of your favorite encounters throughout that?
Wow. One of my favorite encounters, believe it or not, is going to be when I did Legend impersonations. We brought Stevie Richards in for quite a few numbers of shows, and he seen me do Goldust. And he was like, "Hey, kid, you do a good meanie by any chance?" And I'm like, "Actually, that's funny. I did that a few shows ago, so I showed him some pictures and stuff." And, you know, Danny Doring came over and, you know, put me really, really in high regards with Stevie. And the next time Stevie was in, I got to actually redo the BWO with Stevie Richards and Danny Doring.
Excellent. So kind of redoing that whole BWO thing. When did you find out you were going to do that spot, and how are you looking forward to it?
I mean, back then I was just a young kid just looking to have fun, and I somehow got roped into doing Legend impersonations. And I mean, I've also had, when I was doing that, I had a promoter that no longer runs anymore out of the main area bring me in when Cyber Sunday was such a thing, because he wanted to see Goldust versus Honky Tonk Man, so he brought me in as Dewdust to work Honky Tonk Man so he can see his pay-per-view match he wanted to see.
That's perfect. You know, all those memories, and definitely more to come for you in NWA, not NWA, but Update Pro, as I should say. It used to be classified under that. But, you know, going to journalists, accessing databases is great, but learning something about each promotion from a person's point of view and a person's perspective is definitely another thing and a better thing to learn more about Update Pro. Speaking of Upstate Pro, you had a lot of time, you know, wrestling in the New York region and stuff like that. In the middle of your career, like say around 2007, what were you kind of looking at for future goals and kind of wanted to push around in the middle of your career?
Can you re-say that a little bit? Because you kind of broke up a little bit on my end. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's totally okay. Stating around the middle of your career, 2007, 2008, what were your future goals in the business to evolve and grow? Just future things you wanted to try out. It could be anything. What kind of did you want to work on in the, throughout the middle of your career reaching that crossroads?
Wow, 2007. At that point, I was about 4.5 years in, and I was just lucky enough to be on shows and kept thinking of ways to get on shows and better myself as a wrestler and try to better my position of not being kind of like a joke at that point, because I started, you know, trying to want to take myself more seriously, because I figured the more serious I got, the more serious everybody would take me. And I went through a few different phases. I even went through a straight edge phase at one point in 2010 when I joined the Straight Edge Society on SmackDown Live. That was quite a fun thing. And then, you know, 2012, I kind of had a real good guy take me under his wings named Brody Lee at that point, and, you know, helped me out a lot. And helped me get serious, helped me find a gimmick that was me. And that's what led me to become the Dewey Murray, the real mother trucker that you guys actually get today, was based upon somebody actually taking me under their wing and helping me find myself.
You guys are listening to Wrestling World 247 with none other than the real mother trucker, Dewey Murray. Now, you bring up something really cool. Actually, a fact that I just brand new to. Why all of those side segments? I thought it was a quick way to get heat. when did you find out that that was going to happen for you? What was kind of going through your mind knowing that you're going to make your big debut?
First of all, the real shoot story is I thought it was a joke. I got a call on a Saturday morning from a woman that said that she was with WWE, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And then she's like, oh, I'm looking at a photo of you. You've got long blonde hair, and do you still have the hair? And I'm like, okay, this has to be a rip. This is a woman. She says she's booking with WWE, and it's Saturday, and she wants to know the length of my hair. And I was like, okay, is this a rib? And she's like, no, repeated her name, repeated that she worked for WWE and was, you know, and head of all of us extras at that time. And I was like, okay, I still have the long hair. I still have, okay, so what do you want with my hair? She was like, well, we want you to take the pledge and we want to cut it off. And that's how that all started. And, I mean, I was really, really super nervous because recently – this past year, I actually brought something out in the light, is that I have psoriasis, which is a skin disorder or immune deficiency, and got picked up by the National Psoriasis Foundation as one of their head spokespeople and athletes. So at that point, they were going to shave my head, and I just got clear. So I was more nervous about people seeing my psoriasis than actually what I was going to do and how nervous I was actually going to be about the spot and being my first time on, you know, national TV. And it was kind of in the sold out arena of 14,000 people, which kind of didn't make it any easier.
Absolutely. But you know, they give you that spot and you go through those things, finally actually making it on TV and being that whole live feeling and everything and walking to the back after. What kind of adrenaline rush went through your mind? The most stories I hear about wrestlers doing extra roles is about their phone buzzing like crazy. Was your phone like going crazy? Like, what was happening right when you went through the curtain after your segment was over?
Actually, I only had a few people ask me how it went because at that point, SmackDown wasn't live yet. They were actually taping it that Tuesday for Friday. But
oh, yeah.
Once that Saturday came and Friday night, oh my God, my phone didn't stop. My phone probably didn't stop for a few days. And then once that week came rolling around, they did a video package for, I believe, Over the Limit, and they used the segment I was in. Then my phone blew up again. And then if you go and watch the Best of CM Punk DVD, that made it in there. That clip also made it. If you go to WWE.com and look up the top 10 factions, that clip somehow made it in the Straight Edge Society clip that they show for top 10. It was one of those, you know, random flukes that I got lucky and blessed with a really good spot that actually kept going for almost a year.
Excellent. You know, good for you. You know, working hard in this business and eventually getting a reward from it is definitely something well-deserving and definitely something excellent, something you can share with all your family, friends, everybody in the business forever. So I give you kudos to that. Going from that to another company, I should say, you're very familiar with, none other than Chaotic Wrestling. You know, there's a lot of guys that came through that promotion and that made it huge. What are your thoughts on working with that promotion? And did you kind of see any young guys along the way that you had a feeling that they were going to make it to the top?
I was only there for about three shows. And I loved the locker room. There wasn't one person that had an ego above anybody. There wasn't – it was a very, you know, family, brotherhood, lovable locker room. And like you said, I mean, there's so many good talents that came out of there. And believe it or not, I believe the third Sunday in August, I get to wrestle Anthony Gagone again, which I wrestled him for Chaotic Wrestling back in the day when he first broke in. And he's one of the actually standout indie guys right now. And I knew back then when I worked him, he was going to be a good guy.
Awesome. You guys are listening to Wrestling World 247. We were supposed to have Chris Michaels on, but we have a perfect replacement. We're going to have Michaels on for a future episode due to personal reasons. We couldn't get him on the air tonight, unfortunately, but that will happen very soon. But we have Dewey Murray, like I was saying. He was talking about his time with Upstate Pro, Chaotic Wrestling, WWE Extra Spots, and just overall the whole business in general. And that kind of leads me to my next question about what the biggest mistake you think when you see young guys like myself walk in? Like, what's the biggest mistake that the young guys that are green in the business, brand new, what are some of the biggest mistakes that they make, and what should they work on to kind of get a better boost ahead in the business and not get just basic little kid young guys miss nowadays?
I'm going to be honest, and I know a lot of guys are going to say it. Keeping your eyes open and your ears just as wide as your eyes. Nobody really does that anymore. I'm not going to name names, but there was a green guy in a scramble I did recently that, you know, he kind of missed his spot, and I'm signaling for him, and then at one point, he's not even paying attention to my signal. I got to yell for him, and when we get to the back, he goes, "Oh, well, you two covered it," and just walked away, and it was like, well, I just wanted to talk to you, and my only advice was to, you know, one, you should have kept your eyes open to see the signal, and two, you could have had your ears open to listen a little bit better, and, you know, so just a lot more listening, a lot more watching, and, you know, for the green guys that, you know, just are having some matches, ask the veterans to watch or ask their opinion at the end of the ones that you notice that watch or the veteran that was in the match. Please, you know, ask them, what should you do better? What did you not do?
Absolutely.
You know, and never
you know
be afraid – and never be afraid to ask anybody for advice or be intimidated of anybody, no matter what level they are or what level they came from, because we're all here. Obviously, if the green guy is just as good as the top guy, there's going to be more fans in the seat because there's going to be top quality wrestling from the bottom to the top of the card.
Absolutely. And I like how you bring up those points. And I think I don't have much of a say, but being on local shows recently because of me earning that name status as a wrestling journalist, getting battle royal spots from reputable promoters, for someone like me, it's definitely something interesting. But I definitely plan to walk through any door of any wrestling venue with respect and etiquette, as well as communication. I think there's a story where I was helped set down the ring. I did the whole thing. I helped everyone out. But due to me and communicating, I missed the second stop that we were supposed to drive off somewhere. I got a lot of heat with the veterans, but I think what the veterans respected is that I went up to them, admitted my mistake, and took responsibility. And there's some young guys that will make mistakes and won't admit they make them. And I think that's another issue. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, and there's also a lot of passing the buck game. If you know what I mean. Oh, well, I was late because I was going to ride with so-and-so and they didn't get out of work, or, you know, this person told me to do this. It's really not my fault.
And committed too, like I'm part of a promotion in Winnipeg called the Canadian Wrestling Association. And I'll bring up this story very quick. I'm on their training crew. However, I made no commitments to when I was actually going to go in the ring and start training due to situations with my job and personal things. And the veterans understand that and respect that because they knew that the personal commitments I have to face would kind of interfere with training time. So I'm waiting a little while. And I thought it's not that hard for young guys to just communicate with veterans and just kind of they'll understand. And as long as you don't make any commitments and say all that, you can make commitments, but if you don't follow through with them, you shouldn't make them. And I'm kind of learning that. And it's just because I'm trying to learn more about this. Anyways, we kind of went on about that topic a little bit. It's interesting. It's great. And the best part about this business is that you never stop learning. Speaking of that, where were some of the favorite guys, some standout guys or even standouts, who you really enjoy working with of all time, a few that you really enjoyed having a few matches with?
I really never got to work Cloudy and Cheech together as a team, but I've had numerous amazing matches with both in singles competition. Last year, I finally got to work Colin for the first time one-on-one, and we graduated from the same class together, and once again, never had a match together. But I have good chemistry with everybody. There isn't a person that I haven't had, you know, bad chemistry with. But there's a lot of guys right now that I'm actually probably going to put over. I don't know if you guys are familiar with J-Rock. Give it up one time. He's one of the veterans that have been around for 20 years, and I got to see him this weekend and talk to him, and he's one of the nicest guys. Always helped me out when he first started coming into this area. When I started to come into his area, he once again, you know, he always helped me out. And, you know, he's starting to get his comeuppance, and he just, you know, had some awesome stuff with WWE. Cody Deaner, another great guy. I just read a huge article and know that he just had a shot and a tryout with WWE this past weekend. So it's actually great watching all the guys, you know, that tried to give me advice when I was coming up, get all their comeuppances now. So now it's kind of the roles reversed for me to kind of be in their shoes, and it's actually my turn to help out the green guys and all that stuff like that. So that's more of what I'm looking forward to right now.
Excellent. And, you know, you bring up all that, and it's so great to have you on the show. I'll just describe all those stories and describe all those experiences that you have. Thank you so much. It's definitely a great Wrestling World 247 interview to remember. Before we do let you go, is there any plugs you want to get out there to all the Wrestling World 247 fans? Where can anybody hear you live and see you live, I should say?
No, just follow me on Facebook, Dewey Murray, or at Twitter, at The Real Mother Trucker. Hopefully I'll hear and see from you all soon.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Dewey Murray, for being on the podcast tonight. We do really appreciate you being on such a short notice of time. So thank you once again for being on, and you have yourself a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. That was none other than the Real Mother Trucker, Dewey Murray. Gerard, I'm very sorry I didn't get you to chip in on any of those questions. It was a jam-packed interview. I'm glad you listened to it, and you took your time to chime in. I'm so sorry. What did you think about Dewey Murray? You know, you're a bit familiar with his career, but what kind of did you enjoy hearing in that interview?
I enjoyed all of it. I love listening to the wrestlers and their stories. I'm just a listener, you know, like he had you know, time with Luke Harper or whatever. That was pretty interesting in my eyes.
I like how he brought up that Luke Harper topic, because you're looking at somebody who is at the lowest level of the indies, Luke Harper, and he's made his way all the way to the top. That's like making it from, let's say, the gold guys, which we have a Winnipeg and here, from New York. Wrestling businesses. I just finished watching Raw. Didn't see too much of it. Gerard, did you have a chance to catch Monday Night Raw? If you can, let's do a quick little recap of that before we wrap it up tonight.
Yeah, I did. Big Cass turned heel. He attacked. He was the one that attacked Cass, I guess. They're breaking that tag team up now.
So I'm actually, and everyone can see this on the Twitter feed, I got a vaporizer. It's an Ice Pico. It's fantastic. It's also a Mellow 3 mini tank. this is a vaporizer. It's the greatest thing ever. But during this interview, I've been choking on some of the freaking vape because it's like 6 milligrams of nicotine. So I'm enjoying myself. I'm vaping. I'm enjoying. So I do apologize for that random burst of coughing. But I like what you bring there. I like what WWE did making Big Cass here. You're looking at somebody who was over big time as a babyface, and now you're looking at him as a heel. Now the problem is, he has the ball now. Is he going to roll with it? What do you think?
I think he will. I think they got to give him the ball and they got to go with it. If not, it's done for nothing. I hate WWE, the storylines that they build up. You know, they build up so much and then they don't do nothing with it. And it's just a flop. We don't want that. We don't want that as a fan.
Exactly. You don't want to see stuff like that flop. So hopefully it is a step in the right direction. Let's not cover too much about Raw. I remember Braun Strowman returning. We'll cover that next week on the program. We'll talk about Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar. Love all the segments so far. It's fantastic. I like what they're doing. If we have a person chiming in. Actually, people have been on the live Twitter stream all day. Tall Ranger, at Tall Ranger on Facebook, says, hello from Montreal. We have people listening from around the world here on Wrestling World 247, and that is because Wrestling World 247 and Jordan Garver now is going to be the next big thing in wrestling podcasts. Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, these segments are fantastic. Things are brewing up. I don't care what you say. So, Gerard, I want to see, do you agree with my perspective on this Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar rivalry? Or is this just another stale piece of bread?
No, I agree. I think it's going to be something big. It's got to be. They're building it up, so it's got to be something really big, and I can't wait for it.
Absolutely. And on that note, Wrestling World 247's return, official return. I know we've had 2 episodes, but the audio has been crappy. So much crappier this year than, who's the worst team in the NL? I was doing some research. I don't know the worst player in the NL. And before we go, we got a comment on the air. Tall Ranger used to see Bruno Sammartino in New York City. That is once in a lifetime. Good for you, sir. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for the continued support on Wrestling World 247 Live. This show is going to get here for Gerard Smith and myself, Jordan Garber. This has been Wrestling World 247. All of you guys, have a great night.